Welcome to the Hallelujah House Podcast, an extension ministry of the Hallelujah House blog, where we encourage women to glorify God in heart, heritage, and home. This is Tammy Carter Adams.
And I'm Liz Hammond. We invite you to join our conversation today. Come on, sit around our table.
Welcome home.
We're here, Liz.
We are back. Good. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. We haven't been together in a while, so we might be a little rusty, but that's okay. We'll work through it.
That's right.
We'll get it done. We're going to be discussing today the subject of gratefulness, which is a big surprise being November. I think you know, I get criticized a lot because I'm the type that starts to pull out the Christmas. I start playing Christmas music right after Halloween, and my brother-in-law, he'll get on me and he'll say, "Tammy, don't forget your thankful season." And I'm like, "I'm thankful for Christmas."
Yeah.
I mean, what better way to just show my gratefulness for Christmas?
It gets you in the joyful spirit there.
It does. So let's talk about first, what is something that we are grateful for this morning?
Well, I think you mentioned something about what you love to chomp on all the time.
Well, I was telling Liz earlier that Jay went out of town recently, and I just kept eyeing ice machines. I have been going through, found out that I was slightly anemic, and I have been chomping on ice, and my daughter has now been chomping on ice with me, and I thought, man, one tooth is more expensive than this ice machine if I crack any more teeth in my mouth. So I went and got this ice machine that makes the most delicious ice. It is like Sonic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Sonic's ice.
Those pellets.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't go to Sonic much. I haven't been to Sonic in like...
I haven't either. I don't...
Probably, man, since I was pregnant with the
little
boys.
Yeah, since my kids were little.
Yeah, maybe when they were like real little. I took them to Sonic one time, but I just remember... All I remember about them was the ice, you know? And so Bella and I have been filling our cups all day, jumping on ice. It's been wonderful. So I'm thankful for my ice machine. That's what I'm thankful for.
That's good.
One.
Yes.
What's something you are?
Thankful for coffee, of course. I am a coffee fan, a coffee nut. Tammy just brewed us some delicious coffee. What was it? Caramel swirl?
Caramel swirl. People I follow on Instagram, they're nomadic. Mm-hmm. I think called Nomadic Life Movement, but I'll link them in the podcast.
It was good. I still have a little bit left in my mug here.
Yeah.
Gonna finish that off. It's really tasty. I just love coffee. I love the bitter, smooth, strong taste of coffee. Mm-hmm. I get excited about that like I do about chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee is my fix.
Yeah.
I'm thankful.
I like coffee like I like my men.
You do.
Literally.
Strong
my man,
and
my
black.
Man.
That's
strong
right.
And black and hot.
That's true.
Getting hot on the collar thinking about it.
She's breaking out in a sweat right now. Jay, you'd be proud of her.
Oh, gosh. If only he were here. But, that was the longest time to take me. I had a hand grinder, and I was, you know, you see these people on Instagram or on YouTube hand grinding their coffee. Yeah. So I was like trying to be a homesteader this morning, and I'm grinding her this coffee, and I'm like working up the muscles. I said, "This is the longest time it's taken me to make coffee in my entire life."
So, she was just turning and spinning
so
for about 20 minutes.
I know. Okay. So let's get into gratefulness. First question, how can we adopt a grateful attitude? What is ways we can adopt a grateful attitude in our lives?
Well, let's define grateful, what gratefulness is.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a little bit of, you know, studying on this topic because it automatically, you almost think that thankfulness and gratefulness are synonyms of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would use them interchangeably a lot, but thankfulness is like a response to something. Like, I'm thankful you gave me that gift, or I'm thankful you filled up my gas tank, or whatever. It's usually an act, like a response to something. Whereas gratefulness is a state of being. Like, you remain thankful. You remain appreciative mm-hmm. under any circumstance, under anything that's going on. So there is a little bit of a difference between the two.
It's like it's a state of mind mm-hmm. and a state of heart.
Yep. State of heart. It's like a heartfelt appreciation, and you express it with not just a little bit of emotion, but it's truly something that comes from your soul mm-hmm. that you're grateful. You are truly thankful for something in it. And it's a, like you said, a state of being.
Right. Why don't we, before we get into how can we adopt a grateful attitude, we had found some verses that we thought were pertaining to this. And Psalms 103, 2-5. I'm going to go ahead and read that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It talks about being grateful to the Lord for the things that he does for you in your life. And I think it's a good list. Mm-hmm. So mark that in your Bibles mm-hmm. on Psalms 103, 2-5, because that's any time you start to feel, you know, dissatisfied with God, I think that it's always good to a good reminder in there that, you know, these are the things you can be grateful for mm-hmm. to the Lord.
That's right.
Okay, so how can we adopt a grateful attitude? What are some ways we can adopt? Practical things we can do, recognizing the blessings. There are always blessings around you.
Right.
I had taken a Bible study, and I cannot remember who it was because I've taken lots over the years, but I remember someone was saying, you can always flip the switch mm-hmm. from complaining to grateful. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, like, for instance, if you're doing the laundry and you're like, oh, I hate doing this laundry. Yeah. You know, my laundry just piles up overnight, mine in my house. So I'm right there. But, you know, instead of complaining about how much laundry you have to do, be grateful that your kids have clothes.
Right.
You know, to flip the switch in your mind and start thanking God while you're doing that laundry. Thank you, God, for providing these clothes for my children. And what that does is it gets rid of that complaining mm-hmm. spirit.
That's right.
And flipping it to gratefulness.
On the same note, we may have been doing the same Bible study because I think it was a Priscilla Shire study. It may have been Jonah. But anyway, during that study, one of the days of the week, she was talking about, you know, being grateful. And she goes, like, you could be washing dishes today. You know, you've got a sink full of dishes you got to wash. Why don't you look at it as like, thank you, Lord, that I have these dishes to even have to wash. Like, I've got this. Mm-hmm. This is a gift from you. I've got a home. I've got a family here with me. We mess up a lot of dishes. I'm going to be grateful that I even get to do dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is, it's a whole new switch. The way that you look at it, it's flipping your mindset. Mm-hmm. Something exactly. that happened recently. My son, Christian, he's 25, adult son, married, has a baby now. He's been having eye problems. He recently got COVID several months ago, and, it affected a weakness in his eyes. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard COVID can do. It can attack something that's weak in your body.
It attacks everything.
And then mm-hmm. makes it, you know, intensifies the weakness in it. So his eyes really, really got affected by it. And he was having a lot of anxiety about it. And he called me and we'd been talking about it. I'd try to direct him back to the Lord to pray. And I'm like, Bub, instead of focusing on the what ifs and what could happen, start thanking God right now. Just thank him that you still can see. Mm-hmm. Thank him for the sight you do have. I know that's hard, but think of things to be grateful for with your eyes right now, that you can see your wife, you can see your child.
Wow. You know, that's good advice.
Yeah. And it helps, we'll talk about that later, but it helps to combat anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Another practical way we can write down our blessings each morning in our journal time during mm-hmm. our abiding time in the quiet, mm-hmm. Or mention your blessings in prayer, you mm-hmm. know, always start your prayers off thanking God mm-hmm. for the things that he's given you. And I think when you do that in the morning, it kind of sets your day up to, you know, to be in the right mind mm-hmm. frame and heart, mm-hmm. you know, as far as gratefulness goes. And then, as we said before, thank God throughout the day for your provisions, for your relationships, and even things others may see as luxuries.
Mm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, I think sometimes we apologize if we have some, we almost feel like we have to apologize for the luxuries that we have in our life.
Mm.
But if we recognize that they were given to us by God,
right.
to be used by God too,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when we built this big house,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think I've shared that story before. I wanted a little small, quaint farmhouse cottage. I had this big dream that, you know, we had stayed in a little tiny beach house, and I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, we're going to build a little farmhouse. It's going to be my quaint little space
mm-hmm.
where I can hole up and write. And Jay kept saying, nope, make it bigger. No, make it bigger. No, make it bigger. And I was like, I started calling it the Ark. And, you know, not knowing that God had a plan for this house, you know, to be used in for women, to host women, retreats mm-hmm. and Bible studies and things like that, you mm-hmm. know, but that's exactly what it's been used for. And it may be seen as a luxury, but it's all, I see it as God's,
right.
you know, instead of mine.
That's right.
You know, and I'm grateful he allows me to use it
mm-hmm.
for his purposes.
That's right. I agree with that. Anything that we have that is a gift and a blessing, and it might, like you said, be viewed as a luxury, we can just say, thank you, Lord, I'm going to use it for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a grateful heart because, you know, it's really, it has nothing to do with you and what you've done to achieve that. It is all God.
Yeah.
God's gave you your health to be able to work.
Mm-hmm.
God gave you the opportunities to make the money to be able to pay for these things. This is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he gives us, then we give it back to him. This is yours, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I mean, when you think of it that way, you can't help but be grateful.
Oh yeah.
And take no praise. It's exactly. all his.
Exactly. What does gratefulness combat in our lives? What do we find that attitude and that heart condition, what does it combat?
Well, we know it combats a critical spirit, a fault-finding, negative, critical mm-hmm. spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that always sees the glass as half full,
mm-hmm.
right? No, half empty or half full?
Half
Which
empty.
One? Half empty instead of half full. Why not just say, that's all I wanted to drink anyway. It's just enough for me, right? You don't even
yeah.
have to say it's half. Like, it's just enough. Any of us, and I think all of us have a tendency to be critical and negative when we haven't been abiding,
mm-hmm.
when we haven't been spending our time with the Lord and letting his Holy Spirit fill us up with those fruit, you know, so that they're like overflowing at us. We're going to be critical and negative.
Mm-hmm.
If I start being that way, you know, I've been missing my time with the Lord
mm-hmm.
and you can call me out on it. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Call me out. Well, Liz must have been missing some time with God because she is negative right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it does combat that when we choose to have a state of being that is like, God, you're so good. You've been so merciful in my life. You are my healer. You've been my deliverer. You rescued me. You resurrected a dead heart, a dead marriage. You know, I just rehearse what the Lord has done for me. And then I also thank him because I know he's going to do more than that. He's going to continue to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So it will combat a critical spirit.
I heard, I recently read someone talking about how they were going to, the wife was sick and the husband told her, start thanking God for your healing.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to thank God. Instead of saying, God, please heal me,
mm-hmm.
she started to thank God for the healing he had in her future.
Mm-hmm.
And she was healed.
Yeah. Because no matter what, she's going to be healed one way or the other.
Yes,
either
exactly.
this side of heaven or when she's in
exactly.
heaven, there's healing's going to come. So why not thank him for it?
Mm-hmm. While you're still alive.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a grateful heart right there.
Exactly. So the two we were talking about before we started taping that there are two types of criticism when we're talking about people. And we wanted to insert this in here because we think it might be constructive. But it's a constructive criticism or a destructive criticism mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we place on other people. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how funny it is that when we are going to approach someone and our criticism of them is destructive, mm-hmm. we're happy about mm-hmm. going to that person.
Yeah, I'm
we're almost like, let's get
mind.
It on.
Yeah. Like, I am ready to tell them what they need to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Give them a piece of your mind. We want to make them feel inadequate. We mm-hmm. want to make them insecure. And we feel elevated. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel elevated, mm-hmm. you know, supreme. Mm-hmm. And many times this is reflective of insecurity, jealousy, or pride mm-hmm. in the person doing the criticizing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when we're in a space of, I'm jealous of that person, mm-hmm. you know, I feel prideful, mm-hmm. or I am insecure in my own flesh.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I found that true, like in my marriage relationship with my husband sometimes, when I feel like I know better than him about something, or maybe I'm upset with him, you know, it's easy for me to be very critical of him then. Mm-hmm. That's convicting.
Yeah.
I know I've done that, and when I'm happy to do that, that's a serious problem. That's the destructive, critical spirit, mm-hmm. and it's definitely not of God.
Yeah,
and it's ugly. Ugh.
Yeah,
it's ugly to watch. It's ugly to hear. If we could just tape ourselves when we're acting like that and talking that way towards someone, to listen to it back, like to play it back, that would be horrendous to have to listen to.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's not of God.
And then the flip side of that is the constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. And the difference between that is that you're going in to improve a person's skill set or offer a solution to mm-hmm. them. You're going to offer them suggestions of actions they can take mm-hmm. to improve themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not meant to tear down anybody. Mm-hmm. So, and often, you know, whenever I'm going in and I know my heart is in the right place and I'm going to give somebody some constructive feedback, whether it be on their writing, mm-hmm. I feel angst. Mm-hmm. You feel mm-hmm. angst instead of joy to go in and do it, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, no, it causes you to, okay, Lord, I'm going to need your serious help here. Like, I better be prayed up before I go in and mm-hmm. deal with this situation. Because mm-hmm. if I don't have you leading the conversation and preparing her heart or his heart, it's not going to turn out good mm-hmm. at all.
Right. Yeah. And we can pray that God help that person mm-hmm. receive it mm-hmm. the way he wants them mm-hmm. to receive it, you know?
Yeah.
But I
have a good example of that. Yeah. I've got a good example of that. Many years ago, maybe a good 8 years into our marriage, I noticed this female that worked with my husband. She just, every time she was in his presence, she would just gloat over him. Her eyes would sparkle and light up. She'd touch him on the shoulder. And she was just a little too friendly. And I would even call it flirtatious at times. Mm-hmm. She was quite a bit younger than I was, a good 10 years younger. And very early on in her marriage, only been married for maybe a year or two. And, she would always tell my husband, oh, you just have the best wisdom and the best knowledge and you're the best boss. I know I'm your favorite. You know, she just would make comments that were a little uncomfortable for me to hear. And I got the feeling that she had an issue with like being around men and like being overly flirtatious. And it really concerned me. And I watched this happen over and over and over again. She and her husband were actually friends of me and my husband. We went to church together. We worked together. So it wasn't something we could avoid. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I was going to have to go to her and talk to her. And I'm going to tell you what, I was, first of all, just a nervous wreck even thinking about it because I did not want to hurt her. I knew we had a relationship and we were going to have to deal with the conflict and hopefully move through it. But I had to really like take it to God first, take it to him and say, Lord, I want to have the right heart about this. I want to salvage a friendship here because I'm about to draw a boundary line with her if this behavior doesn't change. And I need your help. Please prepare her. Prepare me first. Help me to say what I need to say and do it with the right heart, but prepare her to receive it. And I'm telling you, I wrestled. I wrestled in prayer over it.
Who wouldn't? What wife wouldn't wrestle with that? That takes courage.
If I would have been doing it in the flesh, it would have been ugly. Because I would have went in there, like you said, and had joy about it, telling her, you keep your, you know, hands off my husband. You are you're causing problem. You know, it wouldn't have been good. But God really did give me a heart for her. So after I prayed, I went to her and I asked her if we could talk. And she said, yeah, you know, she had no idea. Mm-hmm. So as I start to bring it to her attention and I start telling her what I've been observing, she started getting teary-eyed. And I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit. He had prepared her because she acknowledged it. And wow. She said she knew she had a problem with that she's always been kind of overly placating with men. Mm-hmm. And she realizes it can cause problems and, you know, it could damage people and her. And she said, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that I've done that. And I do need to be more careful. I truly do appreciate your husband, you know, as a friend and as my boss, but I see that this line needs to be, you know, what it needs to be. And I don't need to be crossing it. And she goes, I wouldn't want my husband having some woman doing that to him. Mm-hmm. And so she received it with the right spirit. Then we were able to pray together and we're still friends to this day. I mean, we're not best friends, but we're friends.
Yeah.
And I was able to release it and she didn't hold it against me. So there's a good example of how you can have a constructive, what did we say this was?
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism where we go to a person and we do it out of love. We want to help them and we've done it out of having a prayerful attitude about it. Mm-hmm. But
that's
it was
a good
hard.
Example.
It was really
good
hard.
Example. And oftentimes if they don't take it well.
They don't always take it well.
They don't always take it well. And a lot of times it stems from their own brokenness, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're either insecure or already.
Stubborn and prideful. No one's going to tell me anything or what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You got to leave that with the Lord. If you've done it the way he's called you to do it, you got to release it. And they have to deal with their own issues. You'll have a peace about it though. If you obey God and you did it God's way, you'll have a peace and you can walk away with your, you know, your head up and not be defeated by that.
Mm-hmm. What are some ways that we can teach our children to be grateful? I want to give y'all some practical tips on things you can do with your kids to teach them now. And one of the ways is to remind them of their blessings, I think. Mm-hmm. With Bella, and I need to be better about this, every now and then I'll do it. I'll ask her, what were you thankful for that happened today? Mm-hmm. You know, when we're getting tucked into the bed and doing our prayers. And I think that I'm going to start after preparing for this podcast. I'm like, I need to do this every night with her. You know, ask her, what are you thankful for today? And make her go to bed at night and fall asleep remembering things she's grateful for rather than the bad things that happened during the day.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, reading books about other children and different cultures from history when they had it rougher than what she has it or from a different class. I think that their eyes need to be open that there are many people who don't have what she has. Mm-hmm. I recently, a picture I was telling Liz before we started taping, there was a picture of these three little girls on Facebook that popped up on my feed this week. And they were three little girls dressed in filthy clothes. Their hands were all cut up. They had scowls on their faces. You could just tell that they were not cared for. And they were Bella's age. And they were oyster shuckers from the early 19th century before child labor laws came into effect. And I was just like, that is so sad. Not early 19th century, early 20th century, I think. But they were from South Carolina. And I showed Bella the picture. And she says, Mommy, why are they dressed like that? They look so sad. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to explain to her, these kids used to have to work, you know, to put food on the table. And I said, they didn't have the life that you had. They woke up at 4 a.m. to start shucking oysters. And look at their hands. Look how cut up they are. Mm. And so I think, you know, we often need to open our kids' eyes and not keep them in a bubble of, you know, American, I call it the North American bubble, the United States bubble, where, you know, prosperity, you know, we're pretty much everyone, you know, has some sort of prosperity, than more so than other countries, let's just say. You know, open their eyes and their minds to that. Mm-hmm. Another way we could do that is by family mission trips as they get older.
Yeah.
You've been on one with your kids?
I haven't been able to go with one of my children, but Rob has. He's taken Christian. I think they've gone twice together. And Faith's been wanting to go. She's been begging to go. She actually gets to go on one this following spring. Mm-hmm. It'll be her first mission trip. But I've been on a few myself. And opening all of our eyes to the lack of what others have, yet they have so much joy, a lot of them, in these other countries. And then we are so like dissatisfied with the not abundance. Lack, but the abundance
Abundance we have, yeah.
It's just a whole different mindset. So it does open our eyes to be grateful for what we have. I went to China years ago and oh my goodness, what we saw, the poverty over there, and that they had nothing. I mean, we went into rural Tibet where they didn't even have electricity. And I came back and the first thing I noticed was all my decorations all over the walls and then my kids' playroom with all these toys. And I just thought, we're going to get rid of all this. You know, it almost makes you feel guilty that you have. But you got to learn the balance. There's nothing wrong with God's blessings in our life, like we talked about earlier, but we need to be grateful, that state of being, for what we have.
Exactly. And we need to, I think too, is recognizing we could live without it.
Yeah.
We could live without the abundance and still be grateful, you know? And I think that's the mindset we need to have walking into our abundance and living within it, is that, you know, there was a time where Jay and I'll never forget this. God just, we chased after the music industry for a bit in our life. And we were involved with a boy band years ago.
It wasn't NSYNC, was it?
No, it wasn't NSYNC. But it was during that time. It was during that time we had our own boy band. And we were, we traveled with them. Jay was still working as a developer, but the money was being used to support, to be dumped into, the profits were being dumped into boy band. And, you know, and we almost lost everything. I mean, it was like God was literally holding us up with his hand. And I remember feeling such a relief, because when I was in that, and I remember we were in New York at this big club, and I looked around and it was just, it was just the scene. I could tell most of them were on drugs. And I'm like, what are you doing here, Tammy? You know, and I knew God was like, what are you doing there? You know, this is not what I have planned for you, for your life. So I remember when we almost lost everything and Jay went on to work with someone else, and there a peace came over my home, and it was like, God's going to take care of us. I knew it. I was spending, I got myself back in the Word. I was reading the Word just because I was in desperation. How are we going to pay our mortgage? Of course, we run to God in desperation. And God was speaking into my life. He was speaking into me, saying that you are, you, I will hold you up with my righteous hand, you know, with my right hand. That verse kept popping up. And I remember showing Jay and saying, you know, we, and I remember there was a passage that I'd read that God had said, do not harm, do not do any, inflict any harm on those that have hurt you financially, that have been part of this, this hurt. You know, do not inflict any harm. So I told Jay that we cannot inflict any harm on them. So we probably stayed with his previous employer for a bit too long, or his partner a bit too long, in hurt of ourselves to not hurt him. So when we left, we had nothing, you know, it was like everything. We had no money, and the money that we were owed, we weren't paid, you know, that time. So I remember sitting at the table and I'm rolling quarters.
Mm.
And, you know, he was going to have a paycheck come in. And, you know, that paycheck came in the nick of time.
Yep.
to pay our mortgage on our home or our rent. I think we were in a rental at the time. But I remember laughing as I'm sitting at the table teaching my kids how to count quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I made it into a learning experience for them. And Jay came up behind me and he wrapped his arms around me and he said, I picked the best wife, you know, or I picked the right wife mm-hmm. for me. You know, because I didn't, you know, he didn't feel any shame.
Right.
I knew this was this. And you know what? That ended up being one of the most incredible faith building experiences of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was life transforming.
Mm.
You know, I after that, I was like, I trusted the Lord. Yeah. I trusted the Lord, you know. And so I'm grateful mm-hmm. for that experience.
Oh, yeah. That goes with the verse in James.
Because uh-huh.
that was a trial y'all were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse in James 1, 2 through 4, it's saying like, count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When you go through various trials, because it is the testing of your faith that produces perseverance. And perseverance produces, you know, what is it? I don't know. You need
okay,
to read it.
Okay, it's James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
So when you were going through that, it's hard to count it a joy when you are lacking something. But when you've got God and He gives you the peace... because you've been seeking Him and He fills you up with that peace during that time, you really can count it a joy. And all of that does produce a gratefulness.
Right.
Especially when you can look back on it and see how God was your provision and He pulled you through and He got your attention. He used whatever it took to get your attention.
Oh, yeah.
And that verse is a difficult verse to listen to. Count it a joy now that you have cancer.
Yeah.
Count it a joy that your husband has walked out on you. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, God can use any situation we're in, and He wants us to have that state of being, a gratefulness that He's God, we're not. He's in control, we're not. We can trust Him. He'll get us through whatever He's calling us to, right?
And you can allow the situations to build your faith, or you can allow it to break down your faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice, you know, because we're given free will.
And I've been on both sides of that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Where my faith was like, crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
But God's still God, and He knows how to pick us up out of that. I'd rather it be building my faith and making me stronger during the time, you know?
And I remember sitting with my sister when she had breast cancer and thinking, oh, you know, I could never go through that. And I, you know, and God, everything that I think, you know, that I see from the outside that I think I could never go through, God has allowed me to go through it.
Yeah. Don't say it anymore. Just don't say it. Don't
Seriously.
Say I could never, Lord, I could never go through this.
And I'm a slow learner, man. So He's pulled me out of financial trouble. He's pulled me. And then, you know, loneliness, you know, I went through a period of my life or a year where I was lonely and, you know, He pulled me through that. He was my constant companion through that. And then breast cancer, you know, went through breast cancer and He was with me through that. So it's like every step of the way, every hardship I've faced, I can look back now and say, He worked on something that was broken in my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where what He's allowed in my life to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being scared of COVID. We were holed up here and I thought, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to protect myself and I'm fearful of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through it and it was like nothing, you know, for me, it was nothing.
Praise God. It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
For some people it was
terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, He was showing me, look, you know, the things you fear, you don't fear the right things.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
We did that before on the boat one, on our boat podcast.
Oh, yeah.
They were fearing the storm instead of God.
Right.
You know?
Having a reverence for His authority.
Yeah.
Sovereignty.
Okay. Which one were we on? Okay. And other ways you can teach your children to be grateful, have your children help with food drives, clothing drives, school supplies, and Christmas toy drives. Mm-hmm. you know, there was a time we did it a lot in our neighborhood, and I know my neighbors probably got sick of me at some point, but we just, I haven't done it with Bella yet. And so Halloween, we used Halloween to hand out, because you and I are going to be talking about food shortages mm-hmm. coming up soon. Mm-hmm. And I just felt this urge to get our food pantry at church stocked. Mm-hmm. So we handed out flyers that we're going to be collecting off of their doorsteps.
Oh, that was a good time to do that.
Yeah. Wow. So that was the only time I could see all the neighbors at once. And so she was handing out flyers to all the neighbors, and they're going to leave their stuff on their doorstep second week of November. And the kids and the mommies in the neighborhoods, we're going to come by and collect.
Wow.
And fill up the food pantry. But that teaches her, because she starts to ask those questions. Well, why are we doing this?
Right.
Because there are kids that don't have food, mm-hmm. you know, and we need to help them. Another way is visiting elderly or sick people. Mm-hmm. I think in today's society, you know, especially with the elderly, during COVID, it's like society doesn't value the elderly anymore. No. In fact, I would even go on to say that there are some in our world that would love to get rid of the elderly and their wisdom that they
it's purposeful that they want them gone
because
they're no use anymore. That's how they view them and see them,
and they can oppose they've been through some things, they have seen some things happen in the world that they could oppose some of the actions that are being taken and some of the public policies that are being passed. So visit your elderly people. They are in acknowledge the wisdom that they have from the experiences they've been
our,
through.
Our small church, when we were in high school, junior high and high school, Pastor Peter Lepresti was our pastor, and he would gather Lisa and I and maybe Chandra Blair, but usually Lisa and I, and say, hey, I want you to come with me to the nursing home. I'm going to deliver a message and I want y'all to sing. And we love Pastor Lepresti. We grew up with him, so he was one of my dad's best friends. So we thought it was like, wow, yeah, I'll go. It was difficult going and looking at those people that were so elderly and aged that they needed constant care, you know, in wheelchairs, can't hardly walk, bent over, heaped over in a, you know, a very, very crippled. And then some of them a little bit out of their mind. I mean, it was difficult. Mm-hmm. I promise you, it's hard to walk into a nursing home. The smells sometimes, the way that you see that they're not really being cared for. But what it does to your heart is just give you an attitude of gratitude that you can do something good for them.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a lot there. They may not even have family members that come visit them. But we were there to interact with them and sing for them and then deliver the gospel message to them. And it really did. Like, I am so grateful that I got to do that. And my daughter has walked into that position too. In fact, she says she wants to work with the elderly, you know, when she graduates eventually. That's one of the areas she would like to do, is geriatric care. She just loves to go in and play games with them and do art stuff with them.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, they do it for community service in high school and in college. Mm-hmm. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a time when I was involved with these moms. We decided we are going to get a group together and we're going to call ourselves the Starfish Sisters. Have I mentioned this before in a podcast? Okay. And one of my girlfriends headed it up. She's like, we're going to be do-gooders. We're going to get out there in the community.
Wow.
And we're going to pick something every month and go and do it.
That's a great idea, too.
Yeah. And it was after that, from that story where the guy was walking along the beach with his dad and there were starfish that were, and he was throwing them back in the ocean.
Oh,
remember that story? Okay. And the father was like, what's the point? Yeah. And he goes, what matters to this one? Yeah. It matters to this one. And each one he threw
I
back in the ocean.
I can't save them all, but I saved this one.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, we go in one week, we go in and visit the, homeless shelter. It was It was in downtown Orlando, and I think we were
like
a rescue mission. Yeah. We were doing they offer employment, and they offer, you know, like training and try and get these homeless people in an overnight facility, mm-hmm. and then they get them jobs, fed, everything. So they were doing a personal product drive at one point, and so we went to go visit. And when we did, I looked into the office, and there was this elderly woman bent all the way over mm-hmm. at the waist. She could not straighten her back, filing. And mm-hmm. I'm like,
wow.
We all kind of looked at each other and we're like, here, we're patting ourselves on the back because we're going to come in and we're going to like collect personal products and organize them for you. And here's this woman that, you know, she is in terrible pain working there every day, you know?
Wow.
When she should be retired.
That's convicting.
God, yeah. Man, you know, she's got jewels in her crowns, multiple crowns.
Okay. But that's a great idea to take your child that's at home with you along if they're old enough to do something like that. Mm-hmm. If you coach a sport, you can get your team, take one day off of practice. I used to do this with my girls. Take one day off of practice that you would dedicate to volleyball or softball or basketball and go to like the Red Cross and serve food in the soup kitchen. Yeah, we would do that once a week.
That's awesome.
Those girls still talk about that. Like the girls that I've coached, if you're listening, you were the ones that I would say, listen, we're going to serve. We're going to serve. Volleyball is important. Yes, we have a game tomorrow, but we're going to serve somebody and we'll see what God does with the rest. Mm-hmm. And they still remember those times going in and helping out and interacting with those that you wouldn't even talk to if you were walking down the street. But when you're in there and you're doing it for the Lord to truly give them a smile and ask them what their name is. And, you know, it really impacted them.
It reminds me of that book. It was a book I read and I actually bought it for everybody. Sometimes I'll pick a book and buy it for all my girlfriends for Christmas. And it was Same Kind of Different as Me. Mm-hmm. There's a movie with Renee Zellweger. The book, I believe the book was better than the movie. It really gave you an insight into how, you know, her death and how she was reaching for Jesus in her deathbed and how God held her in her deathbed for a while for people to come in and so this woman really had a heart for the Lord. So if you have not read that book, read it. It's really incredible. So let's move on. What are some things we can do on Thanksgiving to remind us this is a special day? You got Thanksgiving coming up. And actually, you know, we should feel gratefulness the entire year. Right. But we tend to focus on it around Thanksgiving. So what are some things that you do in your family?
Well, we have a brag tradition on my mom and dad's side of the family that we get when we gather together at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Actually, we do it both times. After we've eaten our meal or opened our presents, we sit there and we say what we're thankful for. And we're all crying and snotting and have to have Kleenexes because we truly reach down deep and we pull out stuff that the Lord has done for us that year and who we're thankful for in the family and why we're thankful for them. And it's just a good time of like soul reflection and soul confession. And we just comfort each other and encourage each other because we're just grateful that we have a family that basically we have the foundation of God in our family and that we truly are all trying to walk and talk and serve the Lord and challenge one another to do that. So it's powerful. It is we look forward to that time. Like none of us go, oh no, it's share time. No, we love it. Our kids have learned to love it. All the kids and grandkids, they take part in it. And it's just a family tradition of what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for from this past year?
That's good, Liz. I was telling Liz, she was describing that to me, and I said, well, you know, our Adams tradition of thankfulness as far as, you know, on Thanksgiving, how we express it is more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I said, we tend to laugh a lot, you know, when we're together.
And that's good. You need that.
Yeah, it's good. Too. One year I did a Thanksgiving game with the kids, and I wrote on little pieces of paper biblical characters and what they were thankful for. And they had to guess who the biblical character was. So I wrote down what the person was thankful for. For example, I wrote down, I am thankful that God sent a raven to feed me. Mm-hmm. And so they had to guess Elijah. Mm-hmm. I am thankful God gave me the instructions on how to build a boat to save me and my family from the flood, mm-hmm. you know, and it kind of reinstills, mm-hmm. it brings back the Bible into your home and to remember what the holiday is for, mm-hmm. you know, but also it refreshes their memory of all these little Bible stories that they may have forgotten by the time they're teenagers, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You hope not, but maybe. Another thing we do is last year we had on the dessert table little slips of paper where everybody wrote down, like mm-hmm. you said, what they were thankful for, and we had to guess who wrote that thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I like that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we read them aloud and we were guessing, you know, who was thankful for this. Mm-hmm. And they got to be a little funny, you know. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Especially in our family.
Because when you know you're doing that as a game, they're probably going, I'm thankful for my lisp that I have and my you know.
Yeah.
Just coming up with some craziness.
Yeah. Yes.
That's good.
And then another thing we've done is before the food, as we're blessing the food, go around and have everyone say something they're thankful yeah. for. Now, we have a crowd here. Mm-hmm. We've had up to 38 people mm-hmm. spend the night. And our Thanksgiving is two nights. Mm-hmm. So it's like everyone arrives, they spend the night, Thanksgiving, then they spend Thanksgiving night, and mm-hmm. then everyone leaves mm-hmm. the following day so we can clean up and get ourselves back on the road home to Orlando. So, but it is a house full and it is chaotic. And this is the first Thanksgiving we're not going to have a huge crowd.
Yeah.
The cousins have decided that they're going to do their own in Orlando. So we're going to just have the brothers here, the Adams brothers. So it's going to be different, but mm-hmm. we'll see. Mm-hmm. So moving on, gratefulness is a way of life. And what does it give us in life? Mm. What does it give us?
Well, if it's a way of life, you are going to have that fruit of the Spirit joy that abides no matter what's going on. It is a deep rooted, seated foundation of I'm at peace with God. I am grateful. I'm thankful. Honestly, I don't deserve anything. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve anything. Anything that comes my way is truly just a gift of God. It's a blessing. So it'll produce joy. That's one of the things of having a grateful heart and cultivating gratefulness is abiding joy, mm-hmm. no matter what. And I can remember when my mom and dad were sick, you know, just a little over a year ago. And as hard as that time was, and it was hard because my sisters and I were caretakers for them for almost 6 months. It was intense. We had a joy to be able to serve them. It was a joy. It truly was mm-hmm. to take care of my dad and mom every day. Now, when my mom got a little stubborn and she didn't want to do her physical therapy and we had to really get a little mean with her, that was not necessarily a joy, but I did have joy in the midst of all of it because mm-hmm. you know, the gratefulness that I had that opportunity to be there with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a gift.
I mean, realistically, if we think of it this way, you know, we have all entered sin, in and out of sin. You know, mm-hmm. we're just sinful people. We all deserve the pig pen mm-hmm. from the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we deserve to be, mm-hmm. is right there in the pig pen.
Yep.
You know, eating the scraps of the pigs. But God doesn't keep, you know, he may have allowed us in some mm-hmm. time of our life be mm-hmm. there. But he doesn't keep us there.
That's right.
You know, he has a plan. Either he's going to take us out of this world, mm-hmm. you know, as his believers, because you're not, you know, your heart's not transforming like mm-hmm. we had talked about before, or he's gonna lull you back, mm-hmm. you know, and he's looking out the window for your return. So that's if you have in your mind, I deserve a pig pen, mm-hmm. but look how much more I have. You mm-hmm. know, there was a time. You know, and I can say sadness and depression and ungratefulness can become bondage for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there was a time where my sister, when she was dying, we had KK, my best bud, mm-hmm. and my cousin Kim. Kim had lost two sons in her life And she, you know, she's gone through some things I can't even imagine in her lifetime as a mother. And KK, right before this, right before she started to sit with my sister, her husband, her new husband, or her husband of 3 years, had issued her divorce papers when she came to Virginia to bury her grandmother. So therefore, here she is. She's confused. She don't even know what happened. You know, he was just tired of being married. So she ends up sitting with my sister because she doesn't know what else to do right at this point. You know, she's kind of moved back to Virginia. She's trying to figure her life out. And she goes, well, I guess I'll go sit, you know, and relieve Thomas, my sister's husband, and sit with your sister. So they took shifts. And I remember talking with both of them, how balming it was to their heart and their hurts. And my cousin Kim stated, this is the most joy I've felt in a long time.
Wow.
And I was thinking, that is so eye-opening to serving others. So if you're in an ungrateful season and you feel depression or over your circumstances, which is ungratefulness, then I encourage you to go find somebody to serve.
Right.
Because it can lift you out of that, you know, just the act of serving. I think that's why God, Christ, think about it. He washed his disciples' feet knowing.
Smelly, stinky, dirty, ugh, feet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Men.
Yeah.
Men feet. And they didn't have toenail clippers back then.
Oh, ugh.
Okay. So
if he can. Clam diggers.
Yeah.
Literally on the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah. So if he's doing that, knowing he's going to the cross, you know, I mean, if he encourages us to do the same thing, there is something healing about it.
That's right.
Okay, so how to break free of this if it's become bondage. As we said, that's one of them. Serve somebody. Find somebody else to serve.
Yeah.
And remember that Christ experienced it all while on earth. He knows loneliness. He knows abandonment. He knows what it feels like to be beaten, to
persecution,
and, and he was killed. So he knows it all. You know, we can't say God doesn't understand. And another thing is abide. Make sure you're spending time. We've already discussed that. Spend time in the Word in the morning. Preferably in the morning, but if you can't, just take some time every day to spend in the Word and in prayer. And then pray when you feel that grumbling spirit come on, pray against it. God gives us the tools, you know. Right. Another thing, how does it give us life? How does gratefulness give us life? It gives us joy. Mm-hmm. We talked about all that. But it also helps us draw others to God.
Yes.
And we talked about before we started taping that sometimes you feel like you have to lower yourself on their level, you know, so that you don't feel like, oh, I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. Look at me. I'm blessed. And while somebody else is complaining about their life, you know, you feel, sometimes I feel the need to relate, you know, and to minimize my blessings. For the sake of somebody else.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's a hard balance. And I think too, you need to pray about that, you know, when, as far as what to say to that person.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You definitely need some counsel there.
The way it helps you draw others to God is people want to be around people who are joyful and grateful and not complainers. You know, people get tired of being around.
There's nothing worse.
You know, I have a tendency if I'm in a up mood, you know, and I'm like feeling good, I don't want to talk to somebody that wants to complain all the time about their circumstances. Because it just, I tend to absorb people's, and that's hard too. I tend to absorb their complaining you know, suddenly feel heavy after I've talked to somebody like that, you know.
And there is a need to be a place where you're a safe space for someone to be able to just vent some junk.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to, I was thinking, so if you don't have a close friend or a sister or somebody that's so close to you, you know they're not going to run away. Yeah. If you don't have that person and you're really going through a hard time and you need to be able to just bounce some stuff off, you need to kind of almost vomit some stuff out, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. So we need to be a safe place for people to be able to vent their criticism. Mm-hmm.
True.
Sometimes their negativity, but be a voice to encourage them in the end. Yeah. Listen first. And then ask, you know, as you're listening, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything positive I can say to mm-hmm. help maybe redirect them or help them change their perspective? Is there anything I can say at all? And make sure it is Holy Spirit led, because when it's not, it doesn't help at all. Mm-hmm. But try to be a safe place. But it is hard. If a person is constantly negative and critical, you need to limit your time with them.
Yeah.
Because birds of a feather
flock together.
Mm-hmm. And you will be known as a
preach.
Yes. Negative, critical person.
Okay. And people notice those that have a happy spirit in the midst of their trouble. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is probably one of the best ways to bring someone to the Lord.
Right.
Is that you're happy no matter what. Are you happy? You might not be happy, but right. You're joyful.
Right.
Because happy is a response to your happenings. We discussed that before.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you still have joy, people notice it. People notice it. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
When I think of this word gratefulness and thankfulness, I think of that old, I think it was the group. Was there a group named Petra back in the day, Christian rock band? And they sang, I Have a Thankful Heart. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I have a thankful heart that you have given me. You don't remember?
Oh,
that?
I remember that. Na, yeah. Na,
na. That song plays in my mind. And that's the words are true. That you have given me.
Yeah.
If you're not grateful, then you're not receiving it from God. Because mm-hmm. God's the one that gives a grateful heart.
True. That's a good note to end on.
Yes.
God gives you the grateful heart. So spend time with them. Amen. Get in the word. Yes. Pray. All right. We'll see you next time.